episode 33, Be the MD Solution, Not Their Competition. I'm your host, Dr. Justin Trostclair, and today we hear Dr. Nicole Lindsay's perspective. For doctors who want a thriving practice and abundant home life, listen as your host, Dr. Justin Trostclair, goes behind the curtain and interviews doctors and guests about real-world triumph, struggles, practical tips, and entertainment on this episode of A Doctor's Perspective. Today's guest is Dr. Nicole Lindsay. She is a chiropractor with over 16 years experience. Her core values are inspiration and communication. And she definitely says, listen to your body's sign and symptoms. Just stop ignoring it. Stop polluting it. But the reason that she is here is because of her amazing Dominate Chiro marketing program. We discuss how to approach a medical doctor, what's the best format to educate them on musculoskeletal issues that we treat. She answers questions like, why would they want to refer to us? What can we do to stop sabotaging ourselves? At the end of the interview, she goes into her passion about mountain biking, keeping the love alive, and also gives really good student advice. So let's go hashtag behind the curtain. Stay tuned to the end for a travel tip and a promo code off of her program. Hey fans, today we have a very awesome guest, Dr. Nicole Lindsay from North Carolina. She is a mountain loving chiropractor who has a wonderful program called Dominate Chiro Marketing. It's talking about teaching chiropractors how to market to medical doctors. Welcome so much to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, let's go right in. I'm curious. I always like to ask, how did you decide to be a chiropractor of all the things possible?
I love that question. Well, it was a gut feeling. And I was a sick kid growing up and was always doped up on all kinds of medication. Like most of us in that generation, parents did what they thought was the right thing to do when you were sick. And as I grew, I decided I wanted to pursue a career in healthcare because I wanted to help people. And drugs were all I knew, so I chose pharmacy. And here I am getting ready to pursue this career in pharmacy, giving drugs and meds, meanwhile taking them and hating them. I had a really good friend have an allergic reaction to an asthma inhaler, and he passed away. And, you know, I'm a big believer in, you know, things happen for a reason. So, you know, I really started questioning. Here I am about to embark on this journey, $120,000 in student loans for pharmacy school, looking at the curriculum. It was all pathology, disease. I said, you know what? I don't know if I really want to do this. And then this happened with my friend. And it really made me think that, you know what? I don't really want to be a part of this industry. I don't want to give drugs to people. And right at that moment, I met a chiropractor. It's funny how life works. And I remember asking him, what do chiropractors do? Don't you fix backs? And he happened to be a really philosophical chiropractor. And he gave me the down and dirty. You know, we help people naturally. We connect the brain to the body. We turn the power on. We get them away from drugs and surgery. And it was like, you know, that gut feeling. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. How do I do that? And he led the way. And here I am.
Very nice. Where'd you go?
I went to Life, the only chiropractic school.
Wow, really? Okay. No, that's a good one. I think it's a nice blend.
Yes, it was a great experience. I was there when Sid was there, graduated in 01. So it was a wonderful experience.
All right. So you've been doing it for a while now.
Yes, 16 years, my friend.
What would you consider? We'll definitely talk about the program, but as far as your chiropractic specialty, do you have anything that you would say sets you apart or at least people love to talk about you with?
Well, I would say that my specialty is inspiring people to take healthy action. I am really, really good at motivating people, getting them to just step up and start making changes in their lifestyle.
That's actually a pretty good answer.
Thank you. Are you surprised?
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, most people are like this technique or that technique, but I really like that it's actually a passionate thing. It's an expression. It's inspiring people to actually take responsibility and to make choices in their life that's going to benefit them in the future.
I had a coach last year come and really helped me dig deep. And that was one of the questions he said, you know, what do you love about being a chiropractor? You know, what really gets you going? And it came down to that. That was it. So that is my specialty. I love seeing that. I love seeing people make those changes. And that's truly why I'm a chiropractor. That's why I got into this field, and that's what I love to see. That makes my gut, you know, that gut feeling like I'm in the right place, you know? That's why I love doing what I do.
If you had to boil it down to maybe two things, what would be the most common, I don't know, if you had a magic wand perhaps to inspire people for something that they could just change either overnight or that you find in the office that you're able to really influence the clients on?
I would say, most importantly, I teach them that their body can heal itself, that they do not need so many. So it's not so much what they need to do, it's what they don't need to do. You know, stop putting toxins in your body, whether it's too many drugs, poison you're eating, you're drinking. So learning that your body can heal itself, stop polluting it. I think that's one of the most important things that I inspire people to do is stop putting it in. Your body can express health if you just get out of its way. And I think the second thing is teaching people to listen to their body. Listen to the signs and the symptoms are there for your body to communicate to you, and stop dulling that. Stop ignoring it. Pay attention to it, because everything means something. You know, everything means something, period, in life. But your body, you know, and people, we lose that connection, or some people never even got it to begin with. But I think as a baby, you know, we're born with that. We know we're hungry. We know how to respond and get what we want by listening to what our body needs. Somewhere along the line, we lose that ability to communicate with our own self, with our body. And I think that I have a real unique ability to help people tap into that and learn themselves and learn to communicate and listen to that so that they can get healthier.
I've noticed, I don't think people realize what hunger is anymore. They just eat. It's 12 o'clock, we have to eat. It's 5:30 or whatever, I have to eat. And I don't know if that's part of what you're talking about, but I've noticed for myself that you can just eat when you're kind of hungry and let your body dictate it versus just the clock.
Exactly.
And it manages it better.
That's exactly what I'm saying. You know, we tend to just stuff and we just don't pay attention. You know, we're not quiet enough to listen to it.
I like it. I want to know about this webinar-based medical doctor marketing. Because as a chiropractor, you're a chiropractor. I think that is what we would think is just the golden rod of how we can blow up our practices is getting into the people that see all of our headaches and they see all of our sciatica and low back pain. And we're like, just send them to us, not them, to me.
Yeah.
So give us, what is your program?
Just
go on a tangent for us. I want to hear it. And I'm going to ask you questions as you go if I don't understand something.
Well, I'll tell you what really got me going down this road is, you know, I've been practicing since 01. And coming out of school, it was almost like the Mercedes 80s, you know, because times were good. Copays were $10, $15. We were all doing high volume practices. We were cranking it out. And I was really into marketing. I was really, you name it, I did it. Screenings, talks. I was really gung-ho about marketing chiropractic. And I would do anything. And then all of a sudden, the dot-com bubble hit. And I don't know if you were practicing then, but things got scary. People were dropping out of care left and right. They wanted refunds. There were no marketing events. It was like crickets, you know, and it was a scary time. So I'm not going to give up ever, no matter, you know, what I'm pursuing. And this is when I thought to myself, okay, where are our patients? Where are they going first? Most of the time, what brings a patient into a chiropractic office? Pain. Yeah. You know, I mean, we'd like to think that patients walk in because they want their life vivified, like Sid Williams would say, but the reality, you know, is pain. Pain is what brings them in. So where are they going? They're going to their MD first. And that's what I thought, you know what? If I could tap into that source and let the MD know, and I, you know, build a real relationship, not, hey, I want your patients. I'm talking real solid relationship, then that stream could come to us, at least some of it. Maybe not all of it, but just some of it, you know? And that's what I did. And so that's what I started doing, is really making this more of a lifestyle, marketing to medical doctors. It's not something like, oh, let me just try a screening, or let me just try this newspaper ad. It wasn't like that. It was like, I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to make this work. And that's what happened. So I've taken these strategies that I've personally have done over the past 16 years and developed this program. And I teach 4 strategies to chiropractors to teach them how to build relationships with medical doctors in their community so that they can get, number one, a relationship established, and number two, start getting referrals from these MDs ongoing.
I'm curious. I want to take a step back. When you said your .com, so you started in 01. .com, I was young. It was definitely hitting at that point when I was in college. So you were like in practice for like just a year or two, and then that's whenever the bottom dropped out?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay.
It was crazy. I mean, you know, I don't even know if you remember, but 401ks were going in the toilet. People were losing their jobs. I mean, it was a scary
time. I started at the real estate bubble pop.
Okay.
That's why I was kind of curious, because that's when my first year was real estate bubble popping. Yours was .com popping, and then the rules changed.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
okay.
So we started, like I said, it made me get creative with my marketing in a totally different way, because not only did I have to figure out how to get to people, get them educated about chiropractic to steer them into our office, but how to do this low cost. You know, what's marketing is not going to cost me a lot of money, because again, new doc in practice, what can I do marketing wise that's not going to cost me a ton of money? And let me tell you, once you establish these relationships with MDs, it doesn't cost you anything.
What do we offer to the medical doctor that would make them want to actually send them to us instead of, say, a physical therapist or occupational therapist?
We can educate the MD about chiropractic. Now, you have to be careful how you go about doing that. So if you approach the MD and you say, I can fix everything your patient has, I can fix their gallbladder, I can fix their asthma, I can fix their back, you know, that's
done.
Exactly. You've just lost rapport. You've lost that opportunity.
Probably for the whole profession.
Exactly. Yeah. So you don't want to do that. But if you approach the medical doctor, again, with a musculoskeletal view, and you educate, because how much of the MD's education is musculoskeletal?
Less than 5%, maybe 10% at the most?
Yeah. So
I'm guessing.
Yeah, I would say I've been told 15% of their education. That's a good question I'm going to ask the MDs in our next webinar. But they do not really understand what we do. And they have patients coming in that have headaches and that have back pain and neck pain. And they are frustrated because they give them medication because that's all they can do, or make a referral to a PT or an MRI or an orthopod. But they're frustrated with these patients. So what we can offer is an option for their patients that can help.
But in the pre-chat, I was trying to get to know you a little bit more about your program to have better questions. And when you mentioned that, I think, okay, well, we should just show them that new research paper that came out with the FDA, that we should stop with the opioids, send a chiropractic and acupuncture. Like, to me, that's where my brain goes. Like, that's what we should do. But it sounded like you have a different approach to that. So what would that approach be?
Yeah. Showing medical doctors research is a really good thing. But if you do not have the relationship established with them, are they really going to look at the research? Some may. I don't know about you, but when you get a stack of mail at your office, are you going to look through stuff that really, I mean, who has the time to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I teach, you know, my number one strategy is to teach chiropractors how to get into the MD's offices, get in front of them face to face, and present a lunchtime lecture on one topic. You know, not on chiropractic can fix 50,000 things. We know we can, but keep that between us, right? Mm-hmm. Let's go in with one symptom, one musculoskeletal complaint, and let's teach the MD about that. Then you show them, number one, you build rapport. Number two, you show the MD research from medical journals, peer-reviewed medical journals, how spinal manipulation can help with that musculoskeletal complaint. And that's really one of the best ways I've found to establish these relationships with these medical doctors.
Oh, that's interesting. And you do this, and now some of this is going to be obviously part of the program, so feel free to be vague on some of these answers. But
yeah.
do you find it's better to take them to a restaurant and do it in the office? I mean, is there a way to make it more relaxing and more comfortable so that there's better rapport building?
I like to do it in their offices because, you know, where are you most comfortable?
In my own office.
Yeah.
So it's my house.
Exactly. So behind closed doors, I find that they really open up to me and they tell me things that I'm not sure they would anywhere else. So I can't tell you how many times MDs have said to me, I'm so glad you're here because I do not want to give my patients medication for migraines when I know that's not working. And that's what they're saying, you know, and I hear that a lot. So they feel safe. They feel comfortable opening up to you once you've established that rapport and you start building that relationship. So you will hear things like that.
Is there any benefit to, I don't know, targeting like the nurses in the office at all, since they're the ones that may be actually handling the referral of the possibilities?
Absolutely. And that's part of my program too. I teach the strategies how to get through to the gatekeepers, the referral coordinators. Yeah, it's a system. You know, it's not just as easy as, you know, let's just set up a lunchtime, lunch and learn, and boom, you're done. You have to follow. There's scripts for the whole process. And there's what I call tying the knot when you're finished. You know, you have to stay there, tie the knot, or else, you know, you have to learn how to ask for the referral to the medical doctor as well. And there's steps that you have to take in order to really make it successful.
And the way you're teaching is through weekly webinars, true?
Yeah. So I do. It's a 4-week program. And there are 4 weekly recorded on-demand webinars. I teach 4 strategies. So when you sign up, you can immediately start getting that material. And that's just chock-packed full of content and information and the strategies that you have to learn. And in addition to that, you can sign up for 4 live webinars that happen weekly at different times, various times, to enable people in China and all over to participate. And those live webinars, you are role-playing and interacting with your colleagues and medical doctors.
So what?
With medical doctors. Yep.
How'd you get that? So you must have actually had some good friends to actually have them come on and part of your program.
So I bribed. I had to pay them a lot of money. No, actually.
Whatever works.
Actually, these are the medical doctors that are from my community that I've used these strategies on, that I've built relationships with over the past 15 plus years. So they're part of my program, and they come on these webinars, and we can role play and use these this time to hone our skills, take these strategies, take these scripts, and practice with the MDs. And we can also, we open up the floor for Q&A, and I think the Q&A is probably the most valuable part. I mean, we did one yesterday and got so much gold dropped from this MD. I got so many new ideas. I was like, you never told me that, you know. but I think what's happening is, and I see this getting so much bigger. I just launched this in January, and I can't believe how much growth I've seen already with this. But as I bring the doctors in more and more, I have more MDs reaching out to me wanting to be a part of this. So I see this helping us and them, and ultimately helping the patients. You know, the MDs want options to keep patients off opioids and to really, you know, stay away from that. So I really see this changing healthcare. I do.
So we all become authorities. They get some more, we get some as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a win-win. I'm excited.
It's really tough because if you're fortunate enough to grow up with somebody who ended up going to medical school, you can ask them these questions and hopefully they can be frank with you to be like, hey, man, this is, what's our image issue? What do you think about? How do you deal with? And then they can be honest. But a lot of us don't have that as an opportunity. We never really made enough medical doctor friends in the real world to be able to have that kind of close relationship. So this would be amazing to have these Q&A with some honesty of, this is what we think of you. This is how you can do better. These are all those questions that you can have. Will any of those be recorded for people who join late, or just like, look, I work because of the time zone difference. It's never a good time. I've got 16 kids at home, and you know, after work doesn't work. I mean, are they going to be pre-recorded or recorded for future use?
Oh yeah, it's all recorded. all of them.
Okay.
And yeah, and so that'll, people will have access to that, a subscription where they can continue to get this information. And also with the continued subscription, patients can, or colleagues can continue to join in on live webinars. So even after they've done their 4 weeks, if they're wanting to stay plugged in and they have more questions that come up, or now they have a lunch and learn set up 6 months later and they need help with that, so they can pop in and continue to train and role play.
Now I'm gonna throw you a softball on this one, okay? You have a tier where you actually might use your own personality and fly out to somebody's office. Is that true? How does that work?
Yes, this is level three in the making. And one of my strengths and one of my core values in life and in practice is connection. I feel strongly about having connections with people in my life. And if I can't feel that and I can't make that happen, then we probably won't have any kind of relationship moving forward. So I already feel that you and I, we have a connection just from this. And
right.
That's one of my sole purposes in life. So with working with medical doctors, I've been able to do that as well. And not everybody can. Not everybody wants that. Not everybody has that same core value or that desire to connect with people, but I do. So if you are that type that you just, you know what, I really don't like putting myself out there, I really don't like the idea of talking to a medical doctor, then you can hire me to do it for you. And I will do that. I will use my skills, my desire, my passion to help you in your community build relationships with MDs so that you can establish that referral base.
Wow. That's a pretty unique opportunity, I would think, because there are a lot of people who don't have the word. They want someone who actually, they'd rather just pay, like, hey, you've been doing this for how long? You created the program. Why don't I just pay you? And then I'll reap the benefits over the next couple of months because the referrals will start coming in and definitely would cover the fee. That's how I would look at it.
I know. Can you imagine? I was trying to think about the other day. One medical doctor that refers to you regularly, and most of my MDs, they refer anywhere from one MD can refer 5 to 10 patients a month once you establish that relationship. So even one medical doctor doing that, you know, depending on what your case value for a patient is worth, I mean, do math, you know, let's say five new patients a month for a year.
Watch out.
I mean, that's huge, you know?
Do doctors have a preference on visit length? And that might be secret sauce right here, but I know there's some chiropractors like it's 30. Some are like, just pain. When you're out of pain, you're done around 6 or 7. And there's always kind of ones in between. Do they have like a range that they feel comfortable?
So that's a really good question. And this is something you were talking about behind closed doors. This is some of the conversation that goes on when you talk with them. And what I'm finding is that doctors, they don't want control of what we do. They really don't.
Oh.
They're slammed. They're busy. You know, so it's so mind blowing when you start doing this, you're gonna be like, wow, they're really cool. And they refer a patient. They want us to manage it. They don't want to manage it. So do they want you to see the patient 3 times a week for a year? No, they don't. Okay. And that's not cool if you're working with a patient that was referred by the MD. So is there a magic number? No, there isn't. But, you know, just keep it real. You know, if they're progressing after a month of care, reduce the frequency. You know, do you have to drop them after 12 visits? No, but, you know, don't drag it out without using logical, clinical, you know, thoughts about how you're caring for this patient.
Yeah. So a lot of us, I think it's put the patient first.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, would you do it to your mom? You know, whatever you're doing to somebody else?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a good litmus test.
For sure. I'll ask the MD, you know, if the patient's not responding, I try and be respectful to the MD and just let them know I'm in your house. If you refer a patient to me, I will play by your rules. So if they're not responding, how would you like me to handle that? Do you want me to send them out for an MRI? Do you want me to send them to an orthopedist or a neurologist? I always ask them, how would you like me to handle that? And 99% of the time, they'll say, you take care of it.
Very nice. Kind of like what we do when someone has a heart issue. You're like, oh, Time for you to go.
Exactly. That's what we need to do as chiropractors. You know, some things are out of our scope and it's okay. Yeah. And that's why I'm doing this, because we need to bridge those gaps and we need to say, you know what? You take care of that. That's your gig. It's not mine. Yeah. Let's just put the patient first.
Do you think this program, because my podcast definitely reaches past chiropractors, to a lot of different professions, physical therapists, things like that. Is this a program that another profession could still use the strategies for their own specialties?
Absolutely. I'm actually tweaking it for acupuncturists, massage therapists, therapists, counselors. Yes, absolutely. Okay. So
principles are principles, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Building relationships. There's the same strategies, minor tweaks.
Yeah, exactly. I like it. Okay, so if a student's graduating, maybe the first year out of school, what kind of advice would you give them?
First year, I would say be prepared to work hard. I'm a big believer in working hard, playing even harder. You know, you right. definitely have to have those two things in check. But it's not easy. And if anyone tells you it is, that building a practice is easy, they lied to you. It's not. It's going to be work. But if you lay the groundwork and you actually do it the right way, you can be super successful in this profession. And it is so rewarding at the same time.
Insurance or cash?
I do both.
Good.
I'm going to ride that train till the wheels fall off. You know what I mean? I mean, I have insurance.
I do.
And I want to use it, you know? So, yeah.
It's so hard. Like, we can go on this tangent a little bit, but if I have insurance, I kind of want to use it. And I understand the doctors who want to go cash. And I really like the idea. Like, you got headaches. That's probably going to be about 2 months. Here's your fee.
Right.
And then what about my insurance? Well, you know, you're going to have to pretty much come out of this pocket with your deductible anyway. So you might as well just, you know, avoid the insurance. So I really don't know how to like work it. But insurance typically pays well, I think. You know, it pays good enough. They have a deductible, and then they're happy because they used it. So I'm not personally stuck on being able to just go 100% cash. And it's not my, you know, I'm not the interview. So what is your opinion on that?
Yeah, I'm with you. I agree. I outsource my billing, so I don't have a billing staff in the office doing it, which I love. That was one of the best decisions I've ever made in practice.
Really?
Yes. Is
I always thought it was a waste of money because you could just pay somebody like $14 an hour instead of a percentage of collected.
Well, they get paid based on how much they bring you in, so they're motivated.
Okay.
To do it. So, to me, you know, I've been in that situation where that staff member that does the billing, they leave. You know, even if they give you a 2-week notice, it's still not enough time to hire somebody, train them. You know, oh my God, hate that. And then you're at their mercy. And no more, you know what I mean? So no more.
Yeah.
I love having it outsourced and out of sight, out of mind. And that's really helped me to not focus on the billing and the insurance and not have it such a headache, because I forget I even deal with it. You know what I mean? Put the note into the software and they take care of the rest.
So who do the patients complain to when there is an issue? Do they call you and you have to like send it back to them, or do you have to handle their issues?
A little bit of both. You know, I will try and put out the fire. If I can't, then we'll pass it to them. So they are definitely able to do that. They can handle any of the questions the patient has. But I'll try. And if it's a simple question, I'll try and handle it myself first.
Okay. It's not tied up in bureaucracy like in a hospital or like a huge practice where they can't even get to the right person half the time.
Yeah, it depends what kind of billing company you go with too. You know, if you go with a smaller company, then it's easier for the, you know, customer service is better. So it's probably depends on what billing company.
Yeah. And you can support local people too. There's somebody in town doing it for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. An old billing person that just wants to, you know, do it from home, and you less overhead because you don't have to utilize that space. You can use that space for something, making money in your office, doing something else, you know?
Well, I can imagine they're doing the same thing. They're working in your office. You know, I could have a business doing this. I could literally do this at my house and have like 15 doctors paying me. Like,
that's right.
I'm just do it myself. Yeah. So as far as, and now you can answer this question however you want, whether it's a chiropractic clinic or for your program, what are some, maybe your top one or two like marketing strategies that really brings in a return on investment?
Number one, of course, is going to be for my practice, the MD marketing. That's okay. My thing, right? We've established right. that. And it's low cost and it's effective. And it also sets you apart from other chiropractors in your area, which I always want to stand out in everything I do. So that's number one. Number two would be, for my practice, would be lunch and learns at businesses. I think that gives you your biggest bang for your buck if you're good at it. You know, now if you suck at doing lunchtime lectures, you know, don't do it. It's not going to work for you. So if you're good and you like to talk, you know, you can do it in as little as I think a 30-minute presentation is a good amount of time to really teach people about what we do. And I'm also a big believer in giving them lots of content. You know, give them content, give them stuff they can start working on, inspire them and connect with them. And if you're talking to a room of, you know, 15 people, you should, if you deliver a really good lunch and learn, you should be able to sign up at least half, hopefully 75% of those people in that room. If you do.
You said your program deals with that for medical doctors. Is that something that can be transferable to businesses, or is that for somebody else can teach you how to do that?
Yeah, I think the lunch and learn, there's a few chiropractors out there doing that right now.
Right.
I've done many different programs over the years. Mm-hmm. I've always given lectures in my office. You know, I remember at Life University, that was one of the things we had to do before we graduated, is come up with a talk that you give your patients.
And whoa.
I called it like Spinal 101 or something like that. And that's what I use for my talk. I've added some things here and there, but you know, there's a whole lot of brain body talk going on there, you know, and wow. teaching people exactly what we talked about in the beginning, that your body can heal itself, that it's stop polluting it, you know, and
wow, timeless.
Yeah. It's real stuff. Where else are they going to get that? You know, and I find that if I lay it all out that way, that I can connect. And again, that's what will make people move into action, is inspiring them and connecting with them.
Very good. There really are. There's so many resources. That's why I was curious if your program that we'd already be purchasing, if it's easily tweakable for the general population as well. So,
well, you gave me an idea. Maybe we can do that down the road. So
that's it. I only do 10% for the first year, and then after that, it drops substantially.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm a giver. So I love hearing about a little bit of goals. Do you have any 5-year goals that you would like to share with everybody?
Sure.
Or maybe the why behind it, you know?
Yeah. Right now, my practice is on autopilot. It's amazing. You know, I've been practicing 16 years, and that thing is a beast. And it's established, and it's the bomb. You know, I love what I've built. So I'm going to keep doing that as long as I can. And I have associates, I have staff. It's awesome. So in 5 years, I'd love to see that continuing to help our community, continuing to be a place for me to keep testing my MD marketing strategies to make sure, because I know things constantly change. I've been at this game for a while. And, you know, we don't do yellow page ads anymore. We don't do a lot of the marketing we used to do, you know, and that it has to continue to evolve. So I need that practice to keep practicing what I'm teaching, right? So
right.
on my Dominate Chiro Marketing and the marketing to MDs, my 5-year goal there would be, or is, to, you know, I'm tired of just being a chiropractor to 12% of the population. I think that it's time for us to turn it up a notch and really start getting chiropractic to the masses. So
right.
I'm confident with as much growth and as much momentum that is behind my MD marketing program and the number of MDs that are reaching out to me and chiropractors that want to be a part of this as well, I feel that in 5 years, we should turn that number up to 15-20% of the population being educated about chiropractic and getting under chiropractic care. In 10 years, I want to see waiting list practices for chiropractors.
Because, oh, that'd be nice.
Because of what I'm doing. You know, and I really feel that that can happen. I mean, how would that, think about that, to be a chiropractor and to never have to worry about bringing a new patient in anymore.
Jaw dropping. Yeah.
I mean, that's like, could you imagine practicing that way and not having to sell chicken dinners and do some of the crap that we've had to do over the years and make our profession, we be authorities, spinal authorities. That's what I'm talking about. That's my mission. And that's what I want to see in 10 years. Why? Because it's freaking time. It's time. It's time.
Yeah. I think we've sabotaged ourselves over the years. We have some loud talkers that are controversial. And then that just shuts down a whole, you can shut a whole town down with one crazy chiropractor. And then now you got a really hard road.
Right.
So I like people like you who are making their systems available for others. I think that's just, a lot of chiropractors are trying to do that in a lot of different niches, but I think this is an important niche. And I don't want to say easiest, but the most rewarding if you can put the time and the effort like you would for, you know, doing health fairs or whatever, just putting that extra effort. So
absolutely.
I appreciate it. We're going to switch gears. You ready?
I'm ready.
The more personal half.
Bring it.
You sound like you have some associates, so that's going to be a better segue for this part is, vacation is the Achilles heel for so many doctors. Are you able to take it? And if not, if so, how do you take more vacations so that you don't get that burnout?
Heck yeah, man. Like I said, I working hard is an absolute. You have to work hard, but you got to play even harder. So one of my best years in practice financially, I took 8 weeks off. And
whoa.
Yeah, I went through kind of like a midlife crisis. I turned 40 that year and I was like, all right, I've got to figure out if I'm doing the right thing, if I'm married to the right person, if I'm the right mother to this child, you know. And I started taking week off here, week off there, week off here. And I looked full circle the end of the year and figured out I am right where I want to be, right where I need to be. And I took off 8 solid weeks that year and made more money in practice than I ever had. So that was huge for me to realize that, yeah, you really do need time away. So I've had associates now for 12 years on and off. I've gone a couple months without one here or there during that time. But that the number one reason I keep an associate is so that I can travel, I can take off and not lose money in my business. So yeah.
Part of momentum.
Yeah.
That was gonna be my next question. How did you not lose momentum? Because I've had people who kind of went that route and either they didn't schedule it correctly or they just like, I lost a lot of momentum. And so I need to do better. I can't take that much time off next year or something. But okay. So that's a perk for an associate.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely get an associate. And, you know, you got to be able to rev your engine back up when you come back. And it is hard because you got to start over kind of, you know, and get your juices flowing again. But if you know that vacation is going to be there again in a couple months, then hopefully it gives me the drive to work harder because I know what's coming in a couple months.
Yeah. I've heard that's half of the excitement of a vacation.
Planning the next.
like the anticipation of doing it and like, you know, you work harder that month ahead of time knowing that, you know, in 3 weeks you have to be gone for a week. So what do?
Exactly.
Put a lot of things in place to ramp up.
Yep.
Yeah. So besides your husband does count on this one and your kid, but any hobbies or volunteering or things that really motivate you outside of work?
I live in Asheville, North Carolina. So the Blue Ridge Mountains and it is just, there's beauty all over us. So I'm a big fan of connecting not only with people, but with nature. And that's what really, really drives me and grounds me at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I'm a mountain biker. I'm a hiker. I love to get outdoors any chance I get and connect with nature. You know, just be silent and listen to the sounds and just let my thoughts come.
Do you wear those tight shirts with the padded booty and the bottles in the back?
I'm doing
and all that.
I'm all geared up. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I do it. And you know, the best part about it, it's, you wouldn't think this, but it's so technical. there's roots and rocks, and you never know what's around the bend. The trail can go from, you know, 3 feet wide to a foot wide with a drop off, creek crosses, and, you know, waterfalls. So you have to be on your game. Your mind, you're picking your line in front of your front tire every second. And the minute your mind goes to something else, you're down. You know, you're in clipless pedals. It's intense. You know, not only you're climbing mountains, you're going up and down. There's no such thing as a level area in this area.
Right.
So this is why I love it, because you can't think of anything but present time when you're out there.
So it's not like those bicycle riders on the street. I lived in Colorado, and you just see them pedaling like a million miles an hour, and they're just going like an inch or less at a time. You're like, this looks miserable.
Right.
Is it like that on a mountain, or is it always technical? So you always have like a little challenge, like here's a route.
Yes, it's always technical. It's always technical. And it's not easy. It's a great workout, but it's a good mind workout to help keep you focused to the hand at task, you know, at that present time. So I like that.
I have to look into that. I did a dirt bike the other day on a dirt road, in like a little mountainy dirt road. I was like, this is so much fun. Obviously it's a lot easier than that to pedal.
Well, that's where you have to start. You know, you just start getting shape. And when I first started mountain biking, my husband, he got me a trainer where you put your mountain bike on. It's like a tripod. And he said, you know, I'm not taking you out in these mountains until you can do an hour on that trainer and get in shape. And I thought, well, he's rude, you know, but you know what? Thank God he did that, because even after doing that for an hour, the first time he took me out, I almost had a heart attack. You know, I was like, oh, these mountains, you know, so it's no joke.
My poor hammies, they're so sore.
Exactly. No joke.
Speaking of husbands, speaking of spouses, might be mountain biking, but what do you guys do to keep the love alive and feeling connected so you don't drift apart in the wake of life?
Yes. It's keeping that relationship going, just like with anything else, is work for sure. We like to do at least, he doesn't like to travel as much as I do, but we travel at least one time a year where it's just him and I, and we go somewhere. And we try and do that when our daughter's at summer camp or something like that. So that's a great way to stay connected. We try and do date night, you know, at least once a month. We try for more, but, you know, a date where we actually pretend we're dating. And good old sexting, you know, you gotta sext your man or your woman, and, you know, some provocative photos every once in a while. Just keep it real, you know.
Snapchat, watch out, y'all.
It disappears. People dating. It's for you and your spouse too.
I like it. That's the first on this podcast. I like the honesty on that, though. I am curious, though, not on that part, but if you're a lot of women doctors who are single and probably like in their 30s at this point are close to it, the men sometimes can be a little taken back, a little intimidated, a little scared of a successful woman. And obviously you are a successful woman. Any advice for someone who's having trouble finding that guy that's willing to embrace their drive to be professional and conquer the business world?
That's a really good question. And that's a struggle that most successful females in any profession struggle with their spouses, because a lot of men have issues with allowing their women to step in the spotlight and be breadwinners. So we went through that, you know, my husband and I, and I finally, you know, it just came down to numbers. It just came down to saying, look, it just makes sense for me to work harder. So I can generate this amount. I need you to support me on that. And trust me, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to, you know, leave you high and dry. I need you to support me. And once we had that conversation, things were a whole lot better. But I heard Pearl Jam was getting an award on the Grammys. I think, is that the music award or is it the Grammys? They were getting an award. I think that's the
I think it is. I'm with you on that one. I think it's the Grammys, because the Emmys. No, isn't the Emmys? It doesn't matter.
I can't remember, but
it's Pearl Jam, guys.
It's Pearl Jam. It's
Pearl Jam.
And I love Pearl Jam, right? I love Eddie Vedder. His lyrics, he's one of my favorites. And he was getting an award, and he was thanking everybody. And he looked in the audience, and he looked at his wife, And he said, you know, thank you for holding that string. I'm the kite and you've allowed me to just soar. And I can't do it without somebody being on the ground holding that kite string for me. And you've done that for me. And I thought, you know, my husband was right there and I looked at him and I said, ditto. You know, that's how I feel. I can't do what I do if you're not there allowing me to do so. And I need you holding that string, you know, and he does, he'll bring me back down every once in a while and just remind me, you know, let's come back to earth. And I, you know, we need that. So I think if you're just, my advice would be to communicate with your other half and let them know that you're the reason I'm this successful. So I need you to support me. I need you to be you and do what you do so that I can do what I do for the family.
It's gotta be hard for a guy, I think, especially if he has to become the taking care of all the children and like not working at all. That would be definitely a difficult conversation, but supportive. If you love each other, you can definitely work that out and have those really difficult conversations. But it makes sense exactly what you said. Thank you for sharing that.
Yes, sir.
Do you happen to have a morning or lunch routine that you stick to that gets you focused for the rest of the day?
My morning routine is I love to fill my brain with new knowledge all the time. So I listen to books on Audible as I'm getting ready. You know, and nice. That's my routine. You know, I drink my coffee out of my my Rio cup. This is my number one dog. And
it's a serious dog look, please.
My little Chihuahua. And I listen, and I, even if it's 10 minutes while I'm getting ready in the morning, I have to do that. I have to get a bit of inspiration or knowledge, something to help me throughout the day.
Any favorite book, blog, or podcast that you think the guests should definitely check out?
Well, yours.
Of course.
Yes, for sure. I'll tell you, I am right now, because of this MD marketing program that's really exploding, one of my favorite books that I'm into right now is called Blue Ocean's Strategy. And I've got so much out of this, and it's really helped me figure out, okay, what is my value proposition? What makes me unique? And, you know, what's going to make me stand apart so that I'm not thinking, oh, I've got so much competition, you know, mm-hmm. Let's just obliterate the competition. Let's just stand apart. And that way it's not even an option, you know, this or that. You know, I don't want to compare myself. I just want people to look at me and say, wow, she's doing this. And that's why I need her program. Not let's compare her to this. So I would say Blue Ocean Strategy, if you've never, if you can utilize those strategies they teach in that for your practice as well to help you stand apart in your community. So I just got so much out of it. It's a great book.
Oh, do you have a favorite? This is our fun little question. Everybody has an iPhone or an Android at least. Do you have any favorite apps or let's go with apps. Any apps for business or pleasure that you just enjoy?
I would say that the app is, you know, right now Audible, you know, because I love the constant information all the time. If I'm driving, if I'm sitting, I'm always trying to, you know, I've got three books going at once all the time. So that's probably my favorite app right now is Audible.
Is Audible, what kind of prices is Audible? Is it like $12 a book or is it like a monthly subscription?
It's a monthly subscription. It's $16.99 and you get so many credits with that. So So then you can download books constantly. And to me, it's well worth it. You know, I don't buy books anymore. I just get it right on Audible, download it and constantly listen to them, you know.
Put that on 1.5 speed and be done with it twice as fast.
Totally love that. I mean, that changed my life when I figured out the 1.5 speed. I was like, what?
I listen to people sometimes. I'm like, put them on one after one. I'm like, you were talking so incredibly slow. And maybe I just talk fast in general. But I was like, wow, this is going to take forever.
That's because you're in China. And, you know, so you've had to speed up. You're on like 2x now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, everything I say, I met a guy that actually speaks English. I think he's number two in town now. And there's two people. And I just had to find, like, so, how are you? And then you, like, figure out how much can he understand if I speed up. And luckily, he's pretty good. I was surprised. So I was like, oh, I might actually have a friend here. Play some Frisbee or something. Social circle expanded by one.
That's why you do so these, bad, right?
I love this. Okay, so what? How can people find you? And what is a great wrap up?
So you can find me at dominatechiromarketing.com. That's my website, and check me out there. I also have a page on Facebook, Dominate Chiromarketing One, and you can message me there as well if you want more information. And I would just, you know, I really appreciate this opportunity to get my message out there about how I feel like as chiropractors, it's time we step up and start dominating our communities and start putting it out there what we do, because, you know, really patients' lives are in jeopardy, and MDs, they really want to know you. They want to know what we do. They want our services. They want to refer to you, and they'll tell you that behind closed doors as well. So if you want more information, you want to jump on board, learn how to do this, learn these strategies, become really successful at this, build your practice, become more of an authority in your community, and really help our profession, then come on. Let's do it. Let's dominate.
Dr. Nicole Lindsay, thank you so much for being on. A wealth of knowledge. All your show notes will be at episode 33. So thank you so much again.
You got it. Thank you for having me, Justin.
Wouldn't it be amazing to get 5 medical doctor referrals per month for each one? I think she has a great concept, a great idea. Obviously, she's got a program for you to purchase. But like I said, there is a promo code. Use Justin, lowercase J, so no caps. And you'll get $75 off. So again, that's promo code Justin, $75 off of her program. Check her out. She's all over Facebook. And if you need to, re-listen to this episode, because she did drop a lot of great information for you. Integrate what's said and make it your own. Travel tips coming up next. Somebody was asking me the other day, they said, I'm 30 pounds overweight, which is more than what it used to be. I've got no motivation to go to the gym, but I know I need to do something. And I told them, that's what my book is about. You can't go from eating 3,000 calories, dropping them to 18 without some kind of plan. I can help you get there and all the little steps in between. Maybe you can only exercise for 5 minutes, but start there. Don't feel guilty about it. And then work yourself up to that 30-minute goal that everybody says you should do. That's what the book's about. You can get it at drperspective.net/free-ebook, or you can just buy it on Amazon as a paperback or a Kindle. If you notice on our website, we have all these pop-ups where you can get 12 exercises for your neck and low back, core strengthening. We also have stretches for numbness and tingling that are in the arms, feet, hands. I want you to know we have merchandise at drperspective.net/shop. You know, we've got t-shirts and logo podcast gear that I would be so thankful if you got. Definitely post a picture on social media and tag me, and I'll give you a shout out. As always, if you look at the top right of the website, we have all the little social media icons. Just pick the ones that you like to use the most. Follow us. You're going to get quotes from each week's episode. You know, if you sign up on an email, you'll get all the updates and important announcements. So as always, I appreciate you. I'm thankful for you listening. And if you'd like to leave a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you listen, I'd be much obliged. Travel tip. Y'all know I love books. Y'all know I love audiobooks and podcasts and all this kind of stuff. Overdrive is a library-based system for audiobooks, and it's free. So if you really like the audiobooks and you don't want to keep spending anywhere from $15 to $30 per book, check out the library. Yet again, they're coming through in the pinch. If they don't have it, maybe ask them to get it. If it's a brand new book, you might have to wait a few weeks, maybe a few months. That's okay too. Just keep your playlist full. And that's it for today. Where? We just went hashtag behind the curtain, and this episode has come to an end. I hope you got the right dose for your optimal life. Please spread the word about this podcast by telling 2 friends, sharing on social media, and visit the show notes on adoctorsperspective.net to see all the references from today's guest. A sincere thank you in advance. You've been listening to Dr. Justin Trosclair, giving you a doctor's perspective.